Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 17.
17.
I am Mike Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis.
Today we will be discussing the tech news for the last week or weekish. Kind of overlap a little, but for the week of today is the 15th, 9/15,
yes,
I think.
That's so correct.
The last week or so. If you're listening live, obviously we are recording today on Thursday, roughly 8 o'clock. And if not, you can always find us on iTunes or our website, which you should also check out anyway. We put up a story today about spam.
Would you like a free iPad or iPhone?
Yeah.
iPad. Or
yeah.
The iPhone that hasn't released yet.
Yeah, or the one that's going to come out after that even.
Oh, man.
Think of the craziness.
We have them. Check it out.
Yeah. So go check that out on our site. You can sign up for our newsletter there and see what else we have going on. That's pretty much that. So we will just get into it.
Let's do it.
So, Patrick.
So I guess we can probably just roll into news article I found earlier this week. It talked about Fusion Garage, if no one has ever heard of that company before.
It's not a surprise.
Okay. So apparently they are cutting tablet prices before shipping. They had came in with a 10.1-inch tablet running the Grid OS. Anyone know about it? No.
Did we talk about it when it came? They announced it like maybe a month ago, a little more than that.
They had a
presentation, a release, whatever,
mm-hmm.
And it was said that I think that the price point was $500 at that point, right? $499.
Yeah, it was like $599. Yeah, it was like $499, $599. Mm-hmm. Yeah, $499 for the Wi-Fi only, and then $599 for the cellular with 3G
right
capabilities on GSM and HSPA.
People are so excited about it that they're already slashing prices.
Yeah, so they're slashing prices. I
it's
guess
a good sign,
but they're actually getting down to a very I think a good marketable $299 for Wi-Fi only, and then $399 if you want to get a cellular based one.
I think this is a solid trend that we're going to see in the tablet market. Just with everything that happened with the touchpad, and just with the rumors of the Amazon tablet coming out at $250, and just people knowing that the only way to compete right now is to sell low.
Pretty much. I like it as of right now. The price point is right. I mean, even though it's an operating system that is built in-house, it's based off of Android's kernel, but they built everything around it to be customized. But you still have access to, it says only on the website that they have access to apps on Amazon.com. It doesn't say anything about the Android market itself. So it's a little confusing as to why that would matter at this point. You're getting a pretty solid piece of equipment for $299. They are getting the NVIDIA Tegra 2 1 GHz dual core, 512 megabytes of RAM, nothing special there. A little bit under, I think, what it should be. But you're getting an LCD 4-point capacitive touch panel, resolution that's 1366 by 768. You got a forward-facing camera, 1.3 megapixels, so you can do some video chatting on your touchpad if you want, or on this Grid 10
yeah
tablet.
It's not a touchpad pad.
It's not a touchpad, I know.
Come on. You're on a touchpad right now.
Yeah, but 16 megs of or 16 gigs of internal storage, but you also get the expansion slots, so if you want to load some extra stuff on there, just go buy a micro SD card that suits your needs. Also has sensors, typical run-of-the-mill stuff, GPS, GPS, the three-axis gyroscope, accelerometer, and then also ambient light sensor. So a lot of the usual suspects there.
Usual suspects.
Usually, yeah. What you find on most tablets nowadays. But, check them out. They're at fusiongarage.com. They have the Grid 10, which is the tablet, and then they're also showcasing a Grid 4, which looks like they're going to be hitting the phone market. They don't have any price points out on that, so it's a little hazy as to what they're going to come in at. It looks like they're only solely GSM based, but they look pretty, attractive. All black, a little bit of red, accents here and there. But a pretty... It's interesting. Like, I would want to get my hands on one, not necessarily to own it, but just to kind of test drive it for, like, a week.
I think it's going to be hard sell for them because nobody knows about them. I mean, people know Android and they know iOS. And people... Windows, I mean... Windows isn't known for its mobility yet, but I mean, just the brand name, yes, people are familiar with, and they know, you know, it's a proven brand, right?
Yep.
Whereas this Garage Fusion or whatever,
the Grid OS,
you know what I mean? Like, 4, people are gonna be like, "What the shit is?"
They'll have to really sell.
There's gonna have to be something just spectacular, I think, for them to be able to
price point.
Well, that's part of it, right?
The touchpad was out for so long, and no one gave a crap about it because it was priced too high.
It's out for 50 days.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, under the radar for
I mean, nobody knew about it, right?
Nobody knew about it, but they just didn't care.
It's tough for a new product to come out because PC, I mean, people like us, like, I knew about the touchpad when it came out, but... To get that information to the average consumer, what they know is the iPad. That's what it is, you know? And if you go to Best Buy, and they'll see, you know, Apple's big display, and then they'll see kind of the little clunky Windows / everything else section, you know, with the Droid tablets, and people are like, what's this?
I mean, and even I think, even though the Android tablets aren't doing well, I think Samsung's got a good leg up just because they're Samsung, and, you know, people know Samsung. But, I mean, even the hardware is being made by, you know, someone who, right? Like, the actual company name. Like, you know what I mean?
Actually, like, makes hardware.
Like, the hardware is made by someone you don't know. The software is made by someone you don't know. I think that just doesn't make it irrelevant, but I think it's a hard sell.
Sure.
You know, especially outside of the already tech industry. Like,
but
like
I mean, it's like
said,
a $299 tablet.
Oh, right.
It's a pretty attractive price.
I know the Arcos sell for pretty cheap too. The Arcos tablets. I mean, I think they're right. I mean, not saying that. Not trying to argue with you.
No.
But I think they're going to have a tough time.
I know, and I agree with that. But they're coming in. They're coming in at a fairly more attractive price. It still doesn't. I'm not giving $299 the golden price. I think lower. $250 sounds a lot better, you know, maybe even closer to $2, but then you're starting to get towards the cost of actually making the device, which is really hard for companies to come in and say, all right, we're going to push this product, and then we're going to barely sell it above, like, what it costs to assemble a thing and ship it out the door.
If it's above what their cost anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of the conundrum, you know, that most deal with.
I mean, at this point, I think you have to take a hit. I mean, I think we probably talked about this last week when we talked about the Amazon tablet, but I think you have to take a hit right now. I mean, to get in the hands. I mean, and that's what you want, right? But is it going to be enough?
Who knows? Lacking an ecosystem, I don't think so. They couldn't take a hit and say...
Right. Without something to back it up.
Yeah, now we're depending on Amazon's app market.
Where Amazon can come in, but then they're gonna make more money from selling other things on their site, on their Kindles, their books, their, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still going to make money. They can sell MP3s, and that's the... The compelling thing about the iPad, I mean, I think Android would be killing the iPad if it had the same applications. Like, if it had that many apps available, I think it could matter less what the hardware is. I mean, it had to run good, but
right. But at this point, it's like the apps. Hardware for hardware, it does really matter about the
I mean, people are making identical tablets. I mean, that's panning into our next story, really. I mean, that's why Samsung's getting sued by Apple. I mean, the hardware is the same. So it's hard to make the difference because, you know, it's everything is... They're getting sued because they're making the same thing. It looks the same. All the tablets, I mean, you can't say that it looks like an iPad. It looks like a tablet. You know? I mean, that's what they are. There's no really other... I mean, they can make them other colors. I mean, what are they going to do?
Well,
people want something small and basic.
Well, that's just like, yeah. I mean, we've talked about that before. It's just like people saying that, you know, HP or Lenovo's new laptops look just like a MacBook. And it's like, no, they look like a Lenovo made out of aluminum.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, all of a sudden, But yeah, neither, whatever.
It's funny because in all the Ultrabooks actually that were released at IFA last week, I think it was I want to say it was the Lenovo ones that actually were the only ones that had a slightly different build to them. For the Ultrabook section, anyway.
Do you think like the what we know now is like the micro ATX cases or like the mini towers or like the full ATX cases? You think like they had battles back then when they changed it from like the all in one machine?
No.
To what we now know as the micro ATX.
I think
it's crazy that like you can't even get into like the marketplace. Without
it's because
someone
of
being,
the,
like,
all of the patent wars. You know, I think that's what's really driving it.
I mean, and if you look back, I mean, patents weren't as huge of a deal until the last year or two. That's what's really been starting to make people money. I mean, owning the patent, I mean, that has become more of a battle recently than it was before.
But I kind of wonder because, like, as of right now, like, obviously we're more in tune as to what's going on, but, like...
Right. No, I understand what you're saying, like, and I don't know. It's hard to say, because it's the same argument. Like, it's a tower. Like, how else could you make it? But, right? Like, that's the argument. Like, well, what do you want me to do? Put a pink banner on it or somewhere? You know, like, how do you want me to make it different? I have my iPad and you have your touchpad sitting right here. Aside from that, yours is slightly smaller. If they were sitting there off, I could see them looking nearly... I mean, they're... They're the same thing, really, you know? And the Samsung, the Galaxy Tab, which in Germany now is fully being blocked because the Apple won the patent lawsuit there. It's just, what are they supposed to do?
So it's only
make it thick and clunky and
right. So I mean, other than changing the size difference, because I think they said that the Tab 7 wouldn't have any restrictions or any, there wouldn't be any injunction that would pertain to that.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think it's funny that is what's different, but
they couldn't have made a 10.2.
Yeah, right. You know, like just a slightly.
Yeah. Because were you joking about like the 10% difference that needs to happen about
with the cases?
The cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, that's what they said. If you like, in order to get around a patent, it's like the rough guesstimate is there has to be at least a 10% change in
the original
from the original.
So go bigger by 10%.
I don't know. I don't know. It really sucks for people who want. I mean, new companies that want to get into it. And it sucks for the consumer in the end because it really limits what other companies can do who have money to fight these battles.
Well, and the worst, my biggest problem is the fact that people buy patents just to be able to sue and collect money. I mean, aside from the fact that legitimately people are making patents to make products, I understand that. But then there's the people that buy patents from people and then sit on them and just collect money off it. And sue people that don't, like, the whole Lodestar thing is just...
Well, Lodestar, and then prior to that, like, Red Rock or Bedrock or whoever had to file a patent, like, infringement against Google just because there was, like, some dynamic dual-line update that they put in, like, the kernel.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such little shitty things, but it is what it is. There's no way. There was something in the news, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know there's a law that was just passed. Pertaining to patents. Nothing.
That's supposed to better the patent.
Yeah, it's not. Right, it's definitely not fixing it, but it's making it a little better. And I don't know. I don't have it exactly, so don't quote me. But if you want to look it up, you could probably Google it. But yeah.
Indeed.
But that's enough on that, I think. In other news, Amazon is supposedly, according to the Wall Street Journal, looking into a book subscription type Netflix. Bookflix? I don't know. It's a similar situation to Netflix where it's like you pay a subscription and you can get, I think it'll be like, let's say a number, like five books you can get a month. And it sounds like it'll be older books, but again, making it very similar to Netflix because you can only stream them. You can't stream the new releases, right? So, I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing, but rumor is that it will be free with an Amazon Prime subscription, so... That's kind of cool.
Is it coming in as like a additional option, like a standalone option?
Like you could
pay.
I don't know.
Outside of the Prime.
They haven't released anything. This is just hearsay, rumor. But I mean, it sounds pretty interesting. So I think it's actually really made me think about buying a Kindle. Like, I was actually talking to Lydia about e-readers today because I'm curious. Like, I read a lot, but I really like having a book, but I hate carrying multiple books with me.
Right.
But I can't, in my head, like, imagining myself reading an e-reader just seems goofy. Like to just sit there with a...
It seems crazy, because I thought, like, when Lydia got... She has the Sony version, and I thought... I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I had never... Prior to her getting one, I'd never looked at one, and that the e-ink is fantastic. I mean, it literally looks like you're looking at a page from a book. I mean, the matte finish, and then the way the e-ink shows up, it's awesome. But, I mean... there's something. I mean, like, Lydia, she wants a library when we have her own place. And you can't fill a library with an e-reader.
Right.
You know, there's something about having
an actual book. That's just the thing. And actually, her and I were talking about, like kind of like they do with movies. Like, you buy a movie and you get a digital copy, right? Why couldn't they do that with books? Buy a book and get the e-reader version as well?
Seems reasonable.
I mean, I'm sure there's licensing involved. Because there's licensing involved in everything.
I've heard of people saying that they, from books that they have purchased in the past, that they would pay a nominal fee to just get the digital copy.
Right. And I think, and in my mind is, I would pay less for a digital copy if it was cheaper. But they're not. They're the same price. Which doesn't make sense, because obviously you're taking out so much of the cost. I mean, look at all the cost in a book.
I mean, the cost of, like, a brand new, like, hardback book compared to, like, the e-reader.
You don't think they're comparable, or you think it's cheaper? I think
they're slightly cheaper.
I think it's a little. I think it's maybe a couple, like, the bucks.
Maybe paper to digital is probably closer, but I'd think the hardcover from
digital. I think when new books come out, I think they're just as expensive.
Oh, see, I would think it's... I think initial cost is the a hardcover book. Like, they're probably close. Hard, like... a book to the e-copy, but going forward, I mean, I picture the hard copy price rising. I mean, because the more people buy books, your cost is constantly increasing, where when you have a digital copy, you have one copy sitting on a server somewhere, and people are just going bloop, bloop, bloop. I mean, there's no additional, I don't want to say, like, support needed for it, you know? I mean, you just let it sit out there till the end of days.
Looking on Amazon Prime right now, you can buy A Dance with Dragons, which is reasonably new, came out 2 months ago maybe, for 18.
That's part of the Game of Thrones
right series. The fifth book, A Song of Ice and Fire. It's $18.80 for the book, the hardcover. It's $14.99 for the Kindle. So
that's crazy.
But you think, cause you're taking everything, like, I understand printing and shipping, and that costs money. That's where the bulk of the cost comes from, right?
Sure.
So how can you take, actually, there was an article $3 off, and
there's an article that broke it down, like, printed versus e-reader, and it showed, like, where costs go, and then, like, right back to the
I understand that the author gets a lot more when it comes straight from an e-reader, I'm pretty sure, or at least the person whoever owns the rights, not necessarily the author in all cases, because they have a deal with the publishing company, right?
Yep.
But at some point, like, I'm sure they get more out of the e-reader version being sold for nearly the same price.
And I want to say, like, the way that the breakdown went is that the e-reader one gave them, like, 10 cents more over the printed copy. Like, I don't know how they justified it.
Like,
it's crazy. Like, you would think that the publisher would get more, but it's, like, it was such a nominal discrepancy.
But for me, so that's nearly $4 difference. You know, whatever. But for that difference, I don't see the value in any, like, compared to, like, having a book is just something about, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I like having books. But if it was $10 compared to $20, I would be like, well, why wouldn't I buy the, you know, sure. Like, you're talking half off. I guess it's a quarter off, but whatever. But anyway, so that's Amazon's news. And also in related news today, they have announced that they are going to, they sell, you know, Kindles that have ads on them now for $25 off. But now the ad-supported Kindles are going to be getting Amazon Local, which is going to give you local deals based on your location.
Excellent. So they're also jumping in the market.
Right. I mean, they've already kind of been dipping their hands in it a little, but this is definitely pushing it to the next level. I mean, the way it's set up now is the Kindle only gives you ads when you buy the ad-supported one. It only gives you ads when you are... when it's in screensaver mode. So it's not like they just pop up while you're reading or anything. So, I mean, that's pretty... For so 25 smart. Bucks off, it's a good...
Why
I mean,
wouldn't you?
Right. I mean, it's not like... Otherwise, it's just a cover stream of your books. Like a cover flow thing. But now there'll be actual ads that pertain more directly to you. So it's kind of interesting, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah. Going along with Amazon... last week we had talked about Amazon and that they were going to be, there's been a big battle going on where the people, the lawmakers in California have wanted Amazon to pay state tax across the boards for all people buying products from them. And that was due to their affiliates, correct? I believe it was.
Because the reason Amazon doesn't pay taxes now is because they have no physical stores where they make you pay. But somehow, justification being the affiliates program makes them presumably have to pay taxes in California anyway.
Well, because that's where Amazon is based out of. Like, that's their physical location.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I was reading the article.
I thought they were based in Seattle.
Mm.
But neither here. I know they have shipping locations. Like a lot of my stuff, because I buy a lot on Amazon. I'll be honest. a lot of it comes from Kentucky. Because that's where that's where the FedEx cap, I think that's where UPS is based out of mainly. But, and which makes sense because it's kind of central, sort of.
Okay, you're correct. Yeah. It is Seattle. So it must be something to do with
But the I think it's then. Because the affiliates, because some way the California law was just put into effect makes it because the fact that they have affiliates that live there that are licensed in California. Then they cause Amazon to have to pay tax because it's like they have someone in California. So what Amazon said was, well, not F the affiliates, but we're not going to pay taxes, so you guys are out of luck.
Yep. Well, now, yeah, just this week, I believe it was on, was it Monday, I think, was today, 15th? So it would have been Sunday, actually. They decided, they agreed to start collecting taxes on items sold in California, which is kind of a big deal. I mean, the biggest reason why a lot of people shop online is to get tax-free product. So, from what I was reading from the article, it's kind of shifty. And the only reason it sounds like it's going on is because of the whole budget crunch in California. It sounds like that's like one of the biggest pushes is they need money. And it would be, they estimate, I think it was $34 billion that they said that it would be able to generate, which...
$23
billion. That's unreal.
They're not collecting taxes now, though.
No.
In a year.
I forgot. Yeah, 2012 is starting. So,
but I think the main reason Amazon is agreeing to this is because it's getting them out of... sales tax for this year, and in reality next year, or at some point right now, there's already an act in Congress where it might affect all online retailers, and they might set a standard tax for that, and so really they might end up having to do it anyway. So to scrape by for the next year, they're like, yeah, well, if you give us another year of no taxes, we'll pay taxes next year, when really they might have to anyway for everyone. So it's it seems like they're just kind of playing California, who clearly needs the money anyway. But I don't know, $23 billion is a lot in taxes.
That's a lot, especially for a state that has been in the red for
10 years. I don't know how long.
It's been a while. I know that. So, So, Sprint.
Yeah. We have some iPhone 5 rumors coming out from Bloomberg. Sprint, they had made a note and confirming that Sprint will not only get the iPhone 5, but they will also continue to keep their unlimited data plan.
Now, this is still not Sprint saying they have this. They will neither confirm nor deny. But sources it's like one of those things where... people close to the situation.
Sure.
Sources familiar with Another thing is today, actually, they announced, or they cut the upgrade time down by 2 months, which is the same thing happened last year.
I said it was four months, 24 to 20.
Oh, I thought it went from 22 to 20, but either way, they cut it. It's funny, though, because AT&T did the same thing last year right before the iPhone launched. So, if that's not coincidence.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did a couple changes. I saw they also changed the trade-in. Like when you get a new phone, the trade-in. If you changed your mind, you could do it in 30 days, but they changed it now to 2 weeks. But if they're one of the last companies that actually has a true unlimited data plan. So I mean, take what you can get.
I've heard speculation that they think they will only sell the unlimited data plans for a little while and then
lock it down.
Yeah. Another thing that happened, I think, today is they cut the... They used to have a premiere, like, for members that have been members of Sprint for a long time. They got little extra deals here and there, but I think they cut that today as well. Yeah. So they're making changes, so something's coming. And I saw... I think it was Sprint now. AT&T had already come out, but now Sprint also was blacking out, not allowing vacation time from September 25th to October 15th or something like that. Some little window. And AT&T had been doing the same thing. But
I wonder if T-Mobile is doing that.
Yeah. Or maybe it was T-Mobile and not Sprint.
I know. Yeah.
There's so many rumors. It's hard to keep track.
I mean, since we're talking about rumors, I know the last rumor I read today, and it sounds like, it's sounding to like it's getting more and more concrete, I guess, but I heard the iPhone is going to be a little bit bigger and a little bit thinner than the current. Bigger screen. I've seen screen protectors now, and what was...
There's cases today. There's a company that's had a pretty good track record. I don't remember the name of the company, but...
Yeah.
They have a good track record of being on top of what... It's funny, though, because all the pictures showed it from behind, like... And all you could see, like, I've looked at, like, every website I check had all these pictures of it, but all of them were from behind, and all you could see was the camera. Like, and it's, like, looked the same. It looked a little bit different. You could tell it looked a little more. But, I mean, again, it's just pictures, and they're all from behind, like...
An aluminum back, I saw, was the last thing, too, versus glass. But, I mean, they're...
Well, that would make sense, because so many people broke theirs.
Yeah. Did you see Tiny Chat?
I don't have it up.
Oh, there's somebody is named iPhone, and they just told me, "Hey, dude, I come out next month."
That's awesome.
Pretty funny. Anyways,
but just in general, I mean, I'm kind of shocked that they haven't even announced an event, because every fall they have usually it's early September, they have their iPod event, their music event, where they launch their new lines of iPods every year in September, and it's usually the beginning, but so far, nothing. Who knows? Pat knows, but he won't tell us.
I can't. I am sworn to secrecy.
That's not true. He doesn't know.
I may know, Mike, but I'm sworn. Can't tell you.
Yeah. Also, in phone news, Android is going to be going forward. They will be ready to be set up for Intel processors. Previously they've been, I thought it was AMD, but it's ARM processors that they've been with, which if you've been paying attention to the whole Windows 8 fiasco, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Fiasco?
Not fiasco, I guess the hubba.
Hubbabaloo?
Hubbabaloo, that's a good way to put it. What gives you the quick boot up times and everything, so, yeah, I think it's cool though. I mean, the more makers, the merrier, I guess. I don't know. They make good processors. I don't know much about the ARM stuff. Haven't read much about it, but Intel does good, so it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, it's good because they took some heat from not getting into the mobile market sooner.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah.
Now they're kind of coming back and revising with lower wattage processors and stuff that can better for your battery stuff. Yeah,
which makes sense. Why not? Why would you want to jump into something and be half-assed, right?
There you go. Yeah.
But yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Also, it was. I don't know if it was announced officially, but it is rumored.
Sources familiar with.
Yeah. The next, so Android, all of their versions have been in alphabetical order. You know, so the last one that was out was ice cream.
Ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, ice cream sandwich. Ice cream sandwich. Prior to that,
some ice cream sandwiches.
What was H? Oh, honeycomb, gingerbread,
Froyo.
Yep. So they've all been
eclair, donut.
What was D?
Donut.
Oh, donut.
C. We could look it up.
Cupcake. I don't know.
Oh, it was cupcake. Actually,
I just made that up.
No, I honestly think that's what it was.
What was B?
They're all desserts.
Bumblebee tuna.
And A was apple.
Anyway.
Anyways, the newest one that they're going to be coming out is rumored to be jelly beans.
Jelly bean.
So, in case you were wondering.
In case you like jelly beans.
Because there's no other, is there no other dessert that starts with a J?
I'm sure Jell-O. Like Jell-O.
Jell-O.
But that doesn't sound cheap, as cool. That's
kind of cheap, yeah. It does. It sounds cheap. Android's you buy cheap. For like 10 cents. Well, that.
Feel like honeycomb is any better?
Honeycomb is better. I think so.
I don't know. Makes like me, the cereal?
Makes me think of cereal. That's what I was going to say.
Anyways.
Clearly, honey's more
expensive. Clearly, we're getting off track here.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go jelly beans. Facebook.
Honey, ice cream sandwich isn't even out yet. That's why it's silly.
It doesn't have to be out for them. Mike. They're already designing letter Z right now.
Letter Z, you think?
Oh yeah.
Really?
No, maybe Q.
Okay, I'll give you.
And
Q.
They're trying to. They're stuck on.
They're
Q.
Stuck they're stuck like, on.
What
it
do
makes
we do
sense.
For Q? they have it already, but they just don't know what the dessert is.
Anyway.
Facebook has been making bunches of changes this week. Also, Facebook gets circles. I mean, smart lists. They are allowing users now to. Create what if you are familiar with Google Plus, where you have your circles, you know, you can make different groups of friends, associates, whatnot. Facebook is implementing smart lists, so you can create.
And if you aren't familiar with Google Plus and you would like to be, let us know. Also, that's you.
What?
Oh, you just have it listed funny. Nothing. Smart lists. Facebook, copying everybody.
Yeah. Well, really, yeah. It was funny because I saw Robert Scoble had posted about this, and I was like, oh, so I made a comment on Google Plus. I was like, oh, yeah, nice of Facebook to copy Google Plus and making the circles. And you never expect to hear back from these, you know, interweb stars, so to speak. And within 30 seconds he had responded to me. He tagged me in a post and was like, actually, Randy, they are copying Twitter because you can do all like how they have the I don't know what you would call it,
it's
but
because
you can follow somebody but they don't have to follow you.
It's like a subscribing type thing.
That's what Facebook is calling it. Twitter just calls it following.
Yeah, so it yeah, so I got called out.
Well, that's different though because the smart lists are something they are really stealing from Google Plus, but now they have added subscribe as well as a separate feature.
So you can now subscribe to similar to Twitter where you can subscribe to somebody's feed so you can follow them and
you don't have to have them confirm you as a friend.
Correct.
But they do have to you have to go and turn on subscriptions.
The person does.
Right.
And the end, yeah, and it depends, too. Like, when you make a post now in Facebook, similar to Google+, you can choose, like, what smart list, if you're watching our live stream, quoting in the air here. So the smart list, you can choose who you want to share it with. And I believe I read that the only way that people just subscribing to you will see it is if it goes to your public profile. So, I don't know. It's a good thing, I guess. I mean, it only means better. I mean, the more competition there is, the better it is for the consumer. But it sucks that it happened so fast because I'd really like to see Google Plus take off more than what it is. I had read today that public posts they don't track private ones.
Yeah, they can't keep track.
But public posts in the last month, I believe it was, have gone down 41%.
Right.
Which is, you know, and they said, you know, maybe it's just people are learning that, you know, you can share stuff with your circles.
I don't hardly ever post anything publicly.
I don't list anything to public.
Yeah, I just always shoot friends or whatever, you know, whatever circle it's aimed at. I mean, I have done public, but not often. I really do think there's probably has been a drop in. I don't understand Google. They may need to read in the Plex.
I don't know, but
Just in general, I don't understand why they don't. I mean, I understand they're still working out the kinks, but with allowing everybody to have 150 invitations already, why don't they just open it to the public?
It's beta.
But
I know.
And the
I
same
know
with, same with the Google Music thing. Like, they just kind of. Like, hey, check this out, and it was going to be cool, and then they just haven't really done anything. I mean, they're doing a little bit with it, but I feel like they just put it on the back burner and went to Circles, you know, or Google Plus, right? And then now what are they doing with that?
I don't know.
It's just kind of hanging out. Now we're playing Angry Birds all the time. Maybe they're all playing Angry Birds all the time trying to beat Sergey.
Now they have to try beating me. Yeah? Well, if they're friends with me. I think there's only like three levels that I couldn't.
You want to try to beat Randy on Angry Birds? Join us on Google Plus.
It's true. They've got games. It's pretty cool. Straight from a browser. Next, what did we bring? Oh, I guess I'm going again.
Right, shooting down the line.
I know. if you, this is for the PC nerds out there.
All three of you.
Really? That's right. I forgot. They don't do benchmark tests on Apple, do they?
They do.
Do they?
No, do they?
I don't think so.
Do they do overclocking with them?
I don't know. I know they always do benchmark tests when they first come out with new lines, though.
Just I mean, compared that makes to everything. Sense, but like,
I don't know if they overclock it at all. Yeah.
Oh, why would they need to overclock something that runs on magic?
Right. I mean, it freaking rules anyway,
duh.
Right?
Duh.
Add what? The magic multiplier?
Come when on. When it needs to run faster, it just does.
Oh.
It just works, nice. Randy.
Oh, my gosh. I need to get rid of this.
It's true.
What am I thinking?
I don't know.
Anyways, AMD announced on September 9th that they... Actually, no, it was August 31st that they did the test, but they announced it on the 9th. That they have... they completely obliterated the world's fastest clock speed for a processor recorded. They hit... I don't remember what the previous record was, but they hit 8.43 gigahertz, which is unbelievable. I mean, that's crazy. I think the most I've gotten my processor overclocked to is like 3.9, and then it started glitching, but I mean, it's still stock cooler and whatnot. But anyways, to do it, they have a video on their website, and it was pretty funny to watch because it was like a team of like six or seven guys, and they're in this lab. They're cooling the processor first with liquid nitrogen, which, you know, keep your processor temperature down. And they did their first test, and they broke the record, and then they realized that their antivirus was still running on the machine, and they're like, oh, disable, let's try this again, and they just completely smashed the record. So yeah, they used liquid nitrogen, and then to get it up to the 8.43, they had to shoot a blast of liquid hydrogen as well to get it down to that extra safe running temperature. That's awesome. So it was pretty sweet.
I like that our initials spell NPR. It's funny to me. Anyway. But yeah, so from processor speeds, we go to Windows and our hubbubaloo. Microsoft held their Build conference this week. Did it start Tuesday? Did it happen Tuesday? Was it Tuesday or was it Monday? I'm going to go with Tuesday. Tuesday? Anyone? They handed out like 5,000 tablets, though.
Yes, to all of the people.
Developers that were there?
That's
and by
ridiculous.
Developers, it turns into half developers, half press, I think, at this point.
Pretty much. Who built the tablets?
I think they were Samsung tablets.
Oh.
Running.
Preloaded with 8.
Running Windows 8, of course.
The massive. So,
and when they're running Windows 8, that's still the developer copy.
Right.
So it's still a buggy OS. I mean, they're developers, so they know what they're getting anyways. Right. But
right.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, while Mike was doing the point after attempt podcast earlier, I was working on my PC. I installed VirtualBox and I downloaded the ISO for Windows 8 last night and got that running. I didn't get too much time to play around with it. Got installed, got to check out the desktop. Todd, who's in chat right now, he'd installed it on VirtualBox yesterday at work and checked it out. It's cool. It's a clean OS. I like they implemented the tiles. So if you're familiar, like with a
Windows Phone. See, the thing with Windows 8, I think maybe we should take a step back. Really, Windows 8 is developed for both tablets and PCs. Both. I mean, it's set to run on either or. With you can either use, you know, like your standard PC, like you have Windows 7, or on a tablet. So it's essentially a touch UI, but you can use a mouse as your finger when you use it on a computer. And then they're kind of taking a step, like everyone keeps saying that Apple is, you know, combining their iOS and OS, but I think Microsoft kind of beat them to the punch by actually nearly doing it. I mean, obviously this is a developer's build, and who knows what the final release will actually even look like. I mean, it could be close to this, or they could change it completely by then, really, but...
Yeah, but I think you can expect the Metro UI to be the base.
So, yeah. So your standard screen, instead of, like, a desktop, is this, you know, complement of tiles strewn across a couple screens. And, yeah. I mean, it looked pretty smooth, though. I mean, I watched a lot of videos the other night. just people demoing it and using it, and the interface was very fluid and smooth, and I mean, there are a lot of complaints that a lot of stuff doesn't work, but it's not even beta yet. It's just developer's build, so that's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, you gotta consider, like, a lot of the stuff that they had to port to ARM's processor that they had to go back and report.
Although the tablets they handed out were running Intel,
which is probably the easiest port for them, just to throw Windows 8 on an Intel-based tablet and just kick it out of the door.
But
because I'd expect a lot of stuff that would be expected to run on the ARM-based tablets. They're still working on that.
Yeah. Overall, though, I mean, I'm pretty impressed with it. I mean, I think it's the right move for Windows. The thing is, they're going to wait a year or so to release a tablet. I mean, that seems crazy to me.
It's supposed to come out sometime next year. But you have to think, too, why would they release... Oh, I mean, they want Windows 8 to be the first operating system on their tablets. And this is... The download that you can get for Windows 8 is developer. I mean, it's not even beta, so we won't see a beta till probably next spring, honestly, you know, to get developers time to play with this and start creating some software compatible with it, which shouldn't be too bad, because, I mean, by the initial looks of it, I mean, it looks similar. It's very similar to Windows 7, while still, I mean, quite a few changes as well, but... yeah, because, I mean, I'd heard people talking, a couple of my friends had installed it, and, well, one actually in particular, and he was complaining that, you know, that the desktop wasn't quite there yet. Like, as a business perspective, he's like, well, I think we're going to hold off upgrading to Windows 8, and it's like, it's beta. It's not even beta. It's a developer release.
I think it's definitely a consumer-based machine, though. I think it's... an odd step for Microsoft to do that, though. I think they still have a solid core in the business world.
Well, I mean...
granted, again, we don't know what all...
Yeah, but, I mean, if... I mean, their whole idea was, let's take Windows and let's just cram it into a tablet. Right. You know, and you're going to get a full-fledged version of Windows on that, which you could easily install into the enterprise market. I mean... whether it fits to work as an enterprise, whether tablets or not fit in an enterprise area beyond, like, email and, you know, I don't know, looking at the webs, different websites, there's not really much you can do with a tablet. I guess you could process orders or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever typical enterprise company might face on a day-to-day basis. I mean, there's still that argument that tablets really have no place in the enterprise market. There's still a big consumer product, but the fact that you have Windows, a full-fledged version of Windows on a tablet, you could give it to a CEO, throw it in Active Directory, you can get to shares, you know, it could be something that he takes in and out of a meeting.
Well, and especially with the interface being cross-platform like that, I think it would be easy for them to just have it running on a computer, even though you can't, you'd lose some of your speed and stuff, whatever, but just the switch back and forth would be so seamless then that it would be the computer. I mean, to go from one to the other, sure. Like, I mean, now, I mean, you can use tablets now to, you know, remote into a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think just the fact that the UI is so similar, it would be a solid extension. I think that that would be a definite advantage.
So, I don't know. I see it kind of sliding into the enterprise market, but, I mean, unless it comes as, like, a docking computer,
yeah.
I see more of the smaller, probably more of, like, the size of Randy's PC with a touchscreen taking more off the enterprise market.
Right.
Just because there's just some things that just seems more natural than like a mouse, but I don't know. Tablets are still.
I just think that they're gonna be too far out of the tablet game by the time they launch it.
Yeah,
I mean, unless people are sick of what's there at the time.
They do have a core. I mean, they were talking about how they still have like there's still a good core group of developers for Windows
that are devoted to Windows.
Yeah,
right?
So I mean, if they had something where they had a good touch interface and they started just porting games and bringing in the consumer appeal to it, I mean, that could be big. Who knows?
I saw a lot of comments today saying that they couldn't run Flash on it, on IE10.
That's funny.
I thought so.
Is that is that what comes default with Windows 8, is IE10?
Yeah, what are they on now?
It's 8 or 9. It's 8 or
9 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw them say IE10.
I brought up Internet Explorer, but I didn't look to see what version it was. Yeah.
It's probably because there's no plug-in available for 10.
Right, I mean, but I'm just saying that there was a lot of comments about that today. Like, I just thought it was funny.
It just
bugs me because it's like, I don't know what people expect. It's
all right.
It's not even beta. This wasn't even supposed.
It's been field testing.
I think it's funny that Microsoft released it on their website as a public download versus
you don't even have to have anything. Anybody can go download it.
Versus having like a TechNet account which is geared towards developers. Like to me, it seems funny. But I suppose they want it. That they said last night. I saw an article that in the first 12 hours of
half a million downloads?
Yeah, in half a million downloads.
According to Ballmer, though. I mean, what does he know?
Yeah.
He's the one that can.
That's like saying, what does Steve Jobs know?
No, that's not the same at all.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Why would Steve know that kind of information?
Because he runs this. Ballmer's crazy.
Whatever. I'm going with it.
I'm sure it's a legitimate number. But
anyways,
it's a lot for sure.
So hopefully I'll get some time to play with it in this next week here. And
there are gonna be a ton of complaints about it.
I know. Well, it's,
but people don't. Yeah.
Yeah. See, and that's what kind of bugs me. It's like it's too bad that they released it to everybody, because if they released it just to developers, that kind of talk sticks just kind of in the developer community. Where now you have people going, you know, they're trying to launch Google Plus so they can play Angry Birds, and they're going, Angry Birds not working, man, this thing sucks. And it's like, it's not even beta.
Do you think the average person like is gonna go and download and play with it? I mean, there's gonna be a lot of buzz saying that it's not polished and it kind of sucks. I mean
your average person, no, but I mean there's gonna be people who are technically savvy, which there's it's more and more, you know.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, is it going to negatively impact Windows 8 that much?
No.
You're just going to get a lot of griping people.
Yeah.
You're just
going to
hear a lot of complaints.
It's going to be...
and I don't want to hear
nothing,
it.
It's nothing usual from Microsoft lately.
Like, I don't want to hear about the freaking iPhone rumors.
Well, stop listening to them.
I can't.
You were even the one that brought up the new one today.
I know. If there was a way to block that somehow in my Firefox, maybe if somebody can point me out to an add-on that just blocks iPhone.
Well, you
would have
blocked Tiny. There was a rumor just in our chat today. So Windows 8. Anyway,
download it and gripe. Wait, no, that's not what we're. I don't know.
That's what Bat wants you to do. You can get a hold of him at.
I'm not telling you where you can get a hold of me.
I'll tell you.
I'll post it on our site later. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Pat's private phone number, his address. Write him letters. He likes to get mail.
I do actually.
Physical mail.
Physical mail.
So anyway, that's Windows 8 coming to a tile near you. Except for, I don't know, did you shut it down?
Nope, it's just timed out right now.
Oh, okay. So it's like, I don't know what's happening over there.
I want to see the new blue screen of death. I heard it's a frowny
face. It's a sideways? Did you see it? There's screenshots of it everywhere.
Are there? Okay.
It's like a big sideways frowny face, and then, oh, we're sorry, Windows has an error. We will be rebooting it, and then it's got a countdown. But, I don't know. That's what you get to look forward to now. Or if it ever happens. Maybe they'll change it.
They probably will. That's kind of
I don't know. It's kind of quirky. But anyway, I think that's that.
That's that.
Check us out. BleakGeek.com. Facebook.
Have we got any emails yet?
No, I checked. Well, I didn't check this today. Maybe.
But we didn't have one earlier.
No. Not the last time I checked, no.
Okay. Which would have been...
I check it pretty regularly.
Okay.
Yeah. Facebook.com/bleedgeek.
Yeah.
You can follow Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We are at bleedgeek.
You know, if you find this podcast on iTunes, you could give it a review. Throwing that out there because there's none.
No, there's no reviews. We'd have stars though. People have. Done that review just stars.
Well, there's no reviews. Write up a nice review, not a mean review.
Suggestions, please.
If you have something mean to say, you can just email us.
Yeah, you can email us at fans@bleedgeek.com.
Or if you're really passionate about it, you could always call us at 406-79-GEEKS or 406-794-3357. And check that out and leave us a message, or if you have something to say or any comments, or I don't even care, anything. And if you're feeling up to it, you can check out the new podcast we started, which will also be up tomorrow if you are into fantasy football, The Point After Attempt. You can go find that on Facebook and get updates on your player injuries and starters and whatnot. But other than that, yeah. You can follow us personally on Twitter as well. I am at Mike037.
And I am at HammockTime with a Y instead of an I.
That's correct. And I am at Crandall111.
And with that, I think that wraps up our show this week. So thanks for listening. I am Mike Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis. And jelly beans.
Jelly beans?
Mm-hmm. We'll